Three. Testing. 1, 2, 3.
History 2. This is Shirley Stolzer along with her partner Flo Joseph interviewing Dr. Barbara K. Schur at the University of Pittsburgh School of Social Work Office. Dr. Schur, would you just state your name and your address?
All right, this is Barbara K. Schur. Excuse me, with a hoarse voice here. My address is 2209 Cathedral of Learning.
Thank you. Dr. Schur, I'd like to start out by asking you some questions as to your family of origin to learn a little about you as a person. We have your curriculum vitae here, but we don't know you as a person, and that's what we're interested in. Could you tell me where your family of origin came from? Were they in Pittsburgh? Did they come from somewhere else?
Okay, my grandparents migrated here from what was Russian Poland. I think it was Kovno, from whence they came. On my father's side, migrated from the Lithuanian-German border somewhere in there. And both came to Pittsburgh ultimately, met here, grew up here, and both were born in Pittsburgh, both my parents, and lived here.
Do you have any idea how they had to pick Pittsburgh to settle in?
Well, I think on my my grandfather's side, my mother's father's side, which was my maternal grandfather, he came originally to Newcastle because he had some relatives there. And then came down to Pittsburgh to work and stayed here. On my father's side, I'm not sure why they got to Pittsburgh, except that my grandmother had two sisters here. Now, I don't know which preceded whom, but in any case, all three sisters did eventually get to Pittsburgh and did live here and have their families here and stayed here the rest of their lives.
Were your parents children when they came to America?
Well, my parents were born here.
Oh, they were both
born
here.
Both parents were born here. My grandparents were in their teens, all of them, when they came, to the best of my knowledge.
Oh, your grandparents were in their teens?
Yes. I think my grandfather...
Oh, way back.
Yeah, because way back. My grandfather on my mother's side, I believe, was about 13, but of course that was considered fully grown
when
he came here. He did have... family here, some family, but the bulk of his family was in New York City. It was a very large family here, as a matter of fact, that had a cousins club and, and quite an extended clan, really. But once he got to Newcastle, which he went there to work, and then got down here, he stayed here, and there were some cousins who are still here. There are some cousins in Pittsburgh.
Do you know the kind of work they did here?
Well, my grandfather, on my mother's side, worked at Frank and Cedar department store. He was a clothing salesman. And my grandmother and grandfather on my father's side had a small store up in the Hill District on Vickery Street for years and years and years.
Do you have an idea in general of year dates that they came?
And I'm not really sure, except that my father was born in about 1894, I think, and my grandparents were already here.
Right.
So they must have come in the late, we think they came in the mid to late 1880s, probably.
I see. And your mother?
The same for my mother. She was born in Pittsburgh. Actually, I think she was born in Newcastle. I think they still lived in Newcastle and then migrated here when she was a very young child. And she was born around 1898, I believe.
And they went to Pittsburgh schools?
Yes, went through high school in Pittsburgh,
both
of them. I lived in the Hill District.
Do you know what high school they attended?
Yes, it was Central. Which no longer exists. There was a high school called Central High School. My mother went to Fifth Avenue, but my father went to Central. And they both went, I believe, to the old Forbes School, which no longer exists, but existed until not very many years ago.
Do you have any idea from having talked to your parents in times past as to what kind of community was in the Hill District at that time?
Very powerful community, very strong Jewish community. And my grandmother on my father's side was extremely active in a million organizations. She was president of Lechemanim, which was food for the poor,
right.
And of the Hebrew Free Burial Society, and endless others.
Mm-hmm.
So she was an extremely active part of
mm-hmm.
that community, and it was a very cohesive, active community.
Mm-hmm.
My mother worked from the time she graduated from high school till she had her first, I guess till she worked, married and had her first baby with Lillian Heldman,
oh.
who was, of course, the, I mean, Anna Heldman, I'm
yes,
sure.
Anna.
I always think of her as Lillian because I think of Lillian Wall,
yeah.
but Anna Heldman up in the Irene Kaufman settlement.
Yes. Yes.
She worked in that office, and that was one of the first, I think it was the second in the nation, of the Visiting Nurses
mm-hmm.
Association. And she worked for Ms. Heldman until she had, I think until she got married and had her first baby.
And that was the Jewish center.
Totally.
Totally. At that time for everybody.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Now, did your either of your parents attend college?
No.
No.
Neither
mm-hmm. What did your dad do?
My dad sold mill and mine supplies, and actually was one of the few Jewish men in that business. It was a very non-Jewish.
Was that clothing?
No, mill and mine supplies for
oh,
mills.
Oh, the supplies for the
yeah,
mill.
Fittings and whatever for mills and mines. He worked for several such companies for many years and then went into his own business.
Awesome.
Again, mill and mine supplies.
Uh-huh. Did your mother ever work outside the home?
Not after she got married, until my father died, and then she worked for a short while as a retail person,
mm-hmm.
but not for a very long time.
About how old were you when your dad died?
Well, he died when he was 63.
Oh.
So he died young.
See.
He died in 1954,
mm-hmm.
and I was 34 years old then.
He was very young.
Yeah.
Were there other children?
Four.
Four
children.
And let's hear how you come in on
that. Okay, my brother was the oldest, and he is now dead. He's been dead for 7 years, died of pancreatic cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was the second. And then there was a baby that died right after birth. And then there was a sister who has died of breast cancer about 8 years ago. And then my youngest sister, who lives here in Pittsburgh.
So there were actually five births.
There were five births.
But four survived.
Right.
And your sister who lives in Pittsburgh now,
mm-hmm.
Does she do any kind of work at all?
Well, I think she's now volunteering. She had
right.
worked at Children's Hospital.
Mm-hmm. She was also a social worker?
No, she was a patient representative at Children's. She was the one that started the patient representative program there. And she worked there until her husband, who taught here at Pitt, retired, and then she retired. But she's young. She's almost 11 years younger than I. So
uh-huh.
she retired simply because he retired.
Uh-huh. And as you were growing up, where did you live here? Where did
Spoiled
you live? You lived. You never lived in the hill?
Never.
Uh-huh. Never. Your parents. By the way, how did your parents meet? Do you know?
I think they probably met through activities at the settlement, as far as I'm aware.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Yeah.
And
they lived not very many blocks from each other.
Uh-huh.
But I think they actually met at the, probably at the
uh-huh.
settlement, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm. And then you moved, when you were born, or was it before you were born, your parents were in Squirrel Hill?
No, they lived in Squirrel Hill as soon as they were married.
I see.
They always uh-huh. lived in Squirrel Hill. They lived out of Pittsburgh for some years when I was very young. But when they were in Pittsburgh, they always lived in Squirrel Hill.
What was the neighborhood like at that time when
Squirrel
you were living
Hill?
There? Yes.
Was that very
As
pleasant?
Contrasted, for example, with today or different kind
Well,
of
I
countries.
Think it's probably it was probably a little less high pressure than maybe it is today. But it was still a very active, very vibrant community, largely Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
I think numerically probably not as largely Jewish as we all perceived it to be, but
mm-hmm.
it was clearly had a distinct Jewish flavor. Very strongly so,
mm-hmm.
and it was a very nice neighborhood. It was
it
a very
was.
Nice neighborhood for young people
mm-hmm.
to live in.
Mm-hmm. When you say it wasn't as intense,
I don't think it was as competitive
as
the situation is. I mean, Alderdice then was still had a very high ratio of very able students and large numbers that were college, probably the largest number in the Pittsburgh schools that were college bound, but it was still depression when
right.
I was going through high school and not as large a number went on to college. I mean, we all of her. Pardon me?
Did you attend Alder Dice?
Yes, graduated from Colfax and Alder Dice.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think there were less people with those kind of aspirations,
right.
Partly because the Depression really did
mm-hmm.
interfere considerably.
But in terms of the Jewish community, as they have always wanted to emphasize education,
that was certainly true of Alder Dice, and very clearly so.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was president of the PTA at Alder Dice, some years after I had graduated, when my youngest sister was there.
She continued. Or she started it.
Well, she was active in PTA, but my youngest sister's 11 years younger than I.
I see.
So when my mother was president of PTA, I was already ready to graduate from college.
I see. And when you grew up, what kind of activities were there for you? What were you interested in? What did you do there?
I was very active with Girl Scouts, which was not typical of Squirrel Hill. People necessarily. I mean, my friends and I stayed in Girl Scouts longer than lots of other young people did. I think lots of other teenagers did. But we were very active in sports. We went to the Alder Dice field and played softball and volleyball and such. And I played the violin and the piano. So I was in the Alder Dice Orchestra and in the Old City Orchestra and ultimately in the Carnegie Tech Orchestra when I went to Carnegie Tech. And so we had loads of activities.
Mm-hmm.
And
there was no center there, though, at that time.
There was no center, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If the activities such as the Girl Scouts had participated, then we're at Road of Sholem because we belonged
mm-hmm.
there, and that's where we went for Girl Scouts.
I see.
We took dancing classes. I mean, we were a highly motivated bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
So we did lots of busy things.
Mm-hmm. And were most of these people that you did these busy things with from the Jewish community? Yes.
You know, I did have one very close non-Jewish friend
mm-hmm.
who lived right near us and went to Alder Dice. But the bulk of our friends
were
tended to be Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very potent Jewish community.
Mm-hmm. And when you had these activities, were there any that directly related to Jewish organizations or schooling, or did you belong to Rosh Hashanah?
Yeah.
Did you have classes? What kind of?
Well, I was confirmed from Rosh Hashanah, but in those days, Rosh Hashanah was extremely more reformed than now in terms of its observances, so nobody learned Hebrew. There were no bat mitzvahs.
Mm-hmm.
I finally studied Hebrew and was bat mitzvah about 7 years ago.
Yes, I had heard that.
Not at Rosh Hashanah then.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once Dr. Jacob became the rabbi at Rosh Hashanah, they began to have Hebrew classes and began to do bar mitzvahs and ultimately bat mitzvahs,
mm-hmm.
but not in our day. That was not done at Rosh Hashanah. You did go to Sunday school, and you were expected to stay through confirmation, which most of us did.
Were your parents active at Rosh Hashanah?
My father had been active with the men's club
mm-hmm.
on and off, more than my mother had been.
How about in terms of services, attending services?
Not regularly.
No.
Except for the high holidays.
Uh-huh. What other synagogues were around at that time?
Well, there was Polzetic was there, and one of my dearest friend's parents belonged to Polzetic, and she went there, and that, of course, was very Orthodox, very
yes.
different from our experience, but we forgave each other. I mean, there was a marked difference.
Right.
That was noticeable to me.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, many of the people at Polzetic, I think, parents were immigrants, and they were Yiddish-speaking and so forth, which
yes.
was not true. I don't know any Yiddish.
Did your parents speak Yiddish?
Yes, to each other, but never to us.
Mm-hmm.
It was their way of communicating to each other. And although I dearly loved my grandmother, the one that was so active, it would sort of feel like I really modeled myself to a great degree after her. We couldn't talk to each other. I mean, she
really?
Didn't know English, and I didn't know either. We just smiled and
mm-hmm.
and looked happy with each other, but we really couldn't. I mean, there was no elaborate kind of communication
uh-huh. Uh-huh.
that went on.
That's interesting.
Oh, yeah, and it was. I remember when she came to my confirmation and the organ blasted out. I remember sitting up on the platform and looked down, and I thought that she would have a heart attack. I mean, she was just stunned. We heard this organ, you know, come through. But
did
so
she
that
belong
was,
to Paul Tennant?
No. They stayed up in the Hill for many years and were very active at the Washington Street Shul. She was very active there.
Yes.
And then ultimately, they moved up to Squirrel Hill, but years later. I mean, they were well up in years then, with my father's brother, who moved to Squirrel Hill at that point. They had all lived next to each other and stayed in the Hill District much longer than my parents never really did after they were married, live in the Hill District. But my uncle did and my grandmother did. And my grandfather, and they moved to Squirrel Hill, but infinitely later.
Yeah.
Then they went to Sheratorga, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
They were Orthodox.
Was Beth Shalom there?
Yes, Beth Shalom.
Tree
huge.
Of Life?
Yes, Tree of Life, but when did they move
they
from
Oakland?
I can't,
right.
They were down
remember,
here where the Playhouse
right.
is. I can't really remember when they moved
in the
there.
Early,
when do you think, 60s?
Late 40s.
Oh, that late.
I believe
then
they were
there.
Still there when I was
Well, I remember in my earliest awareness of them that they were in Oakland.
Now, did your father, did you have uncles and aunts here on both sides?
Yes, my mother had two sisters. She had a brother, but he had drowned in Allegheny River and when he was a young man in his was in the early 20s, and
right.
he was in his early 20s. But she had two sisters that lived
mm-hmm.
here. And ultimately, one sister moved to California to follow her two children. But she lived here for many, many years. And my father had one brother. And that brother had four children, one of whom has died, and the other three all live in Pittsburgh.
And is there continued contact between
you? Yeah, we
you?
Had more contact with my mother's sisters. Yeah. I guess that's typical family behavior.
Mm-hmm.
We had regular contact with my uncle because we visited my grandmother, and they lived next door to each other, and the other two, her two sisters lived there also up in the hill. And ultimately, all of them moved to Squirrel Hill, but they were there. And when we visited, we saw them. But then we went always for Passover, always to my grandmother's house. And the other Jewish holidays we spent together as much that I can recall. But Passover I recall well because we loved it. So it was such a wonderful holiday.
But
so I always looked forward to that.
Yes, that's a real family
holiday. It was a real treat, yes.
But you hadn't learned Hebrew, so you didn't follow the...
No. Well, you know, they just sat, the men sat around
okay.
and ignored the women who put out the food.
I see. It was
most
that
of the women
of Seder.
Did read the Hebrew, but everybody had a wonderful time anyway.
So it was that kind of Seder where the
it
was read
the
everybody.
Reading, the reading went on, and then the food came out. And
they didn't help encourage you to ask the four questions, huh?
I can't remember who did, but I wouldn't have been the youngest of the bunch. It would have either been my youngest sister, whom it probably wasn't, and or one of my cousins.
Mm. Were there any Jewish observances within your home?
Oh, yeah. My parents
really
did general observance. I mean,
tell us about
that. Oh, we did Hanukkah. We always did Friday night candles.
Mm-hmm.
All the Jewish holidays were always observed.
They were.
Yeah, we were very consciously Jewish. It's just that we were Reformed, and that was fairly radical, I think, in the light of the rest of the family.
Mm-hmm.
My mother's sisters also belonged to Rosh Hashanah, so they all, when they went Reformed, they all went together.
Uh-huh.
But on my father's side, I think that was a bit shocking to that
to
branch
that,
of the family.
To go
I'm
that
sure
way.
Sure, they really approved of
uh-huh.
it. But we ate bacon. And that was,
oh, you did?
So
you didn't keep kosher?
No, never. Never.
I see.
Never.
But you knew about it?
Yes, from my grandmother.
Uh-huh. And your friends?
And my one friend who went to Polzetta.
Uh-huh.
I surely did know about it.
Yes, right.
She considered us very sinful.
Uh-huh.
But,
uh-huh.
but as I say, she tried to forgive us for that.
Mm-hmm. Did you come into Oakland? Did you travel by yourself from Pittsburgh at the time? Was it easy to go places
yeah.
as
well,
a young
the
girl?
Well, two main places I remember going from Squirrel Hill were to Rhoda Scholem. If my father didn't drive us, we would walk. And I went to Girl Scouts there, and I took a dancing class there, so I did. We always walked.
You walked. You didn't go, but use the public transportation.
I don't recall using streetcars much for that. Mm-hmm. I do recall walking with my friends to Rotosholm. And then, of course, the Carnegie Library, which we used religiously and constantly. And there was none in Squirrel Hill, and we walked consistently. On occasion, my father would drive us and pick us up and so forth. But it was not considered unusual to walk from Squirrel Hill to Oakland.
What was it like in Oakland at that time?
It was lovely. I loved Oakland. Though, of course, we had the Y, which was active, although I was never active. None of us, my friends and I, would be active at the Y. It seemed like a young men's athletic place more, and so we didn't use that much, but it was there and it was lively. And of course the cathedral from 29, 30, 31 on was sitting here, and Forbes Field was right over there, and we were great baseball fiends. My father had been a great baseball player, and
so you went to games?
Inculcated baseball into us all. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was thinking of it the other day because they have an article about the Homestead Grays and the Crawford team. It was, had a name, I'm not remembering the name correctly, of the two Negro teams, black teams. And my father used to take me, particularly to the games. They used to play over in Frick Park, right off Braddock Avenue there on that field.
Mm-hmm.
And they were wonderful. And we used to go to, he used to take me to go see them. But, so we came to baseball games.
I see.
As much as we could afford to do that.
Was it a business district it is now?
Yes, although there was a lot of residents, where you see the residences, it was there. But Forbes Avenue always had stores along it the way it does now. And Fifth Avenue always had particularly medical facilities related to the hospitals.
What was the makeup of the community in Oakland, do you know? Was it a mixed group?
Pretty mixed. I mean, there was a Jewish community here, but I don't think it was a dominant number by any means. But definitely, there were two synagogues in Oakland. One of them
still exists,
I think.
On the other
side of Israel, perhaps?
Yes, I don't know the name of it. It was near the Great Isis.
One's Israel and one's whatever, but I do know it, and it will come to me, but there was definitely a Jewish community here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there was a real class issue always that was not as much talked about as acted on, which was that the kids that lived in Squirrel Hill considered themselves a cut or two above those that lived in Oakland, and I think were perceived that way, and probably perceived correctly as fairly snobbish, perhaps. Mm-hmm. So there was not a huge amount of socialization in my life and times that went on with the Jewish young people that were growing up in Oakland and us in school.
Well, if you went to Rodef Shalom for Sunday school, there must have been some children from this area.
Very few. Overwhelmingly.
Squirrel Hill people.
And then there were some out-of-towners and people that came and sent their children there from Greensburg.
Oh, really?
And a couple of students in them.
From suburban areas. That's interesting.
Not lots, but some. And then I had cousins that lived in Beachview who came to Rotosholm. And they had a little smidgen of a community, Jewish community in Beachview. I think it was a little synagogue there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But many of them, and some from Northside, came. If they were Reformed, they came to Rotosholm. There was no other Reformed temple till post-World War II.
I see. And Dr. Freehoff was your rabbi?
Indeed. Although I remember prior to Freehoff several rabbis.
There were some.
Dr. Glazer. And the man that went to Emmanuel, Goldenson, Rabbi Goldenson.
Oh, yes.
And then Freehoff must have come, I would recall it as late 30s, am I correct, I think. And then he was there for
Was he as revered at that time?
Oh, yes, yes. He had started his book reviews. And, revered and sort of scary.
Yes, but I have heard that
intimidating
used about
to young
him.
People.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Well, part of it was that he couldn't see well, so he didn't even know that you were standing in front of him. Also, he was more a scholar than a people person, as far as youngsters were concerned. We did not have a lot of contact with him. And Rotosholm was always big enough and prosperous enough to afford an assistant or associate rabbi, sometimes two of them.
to take care of
the meal. Oversaw the Sunday school. Well, they always had a very full Sunday school program. I mean, they were the only, I think they were the only synagogue or temple in Pittsburgh early on that used only certified teachers for their Sunday school.
I was going to ask you, did they have professional
certified
teachers?
Yes. And I think that was really not true in other Sunday schools who could not really afford it or didn't necessarily think that that was important because they were interested in the Jewish education. But Rosh Hashulam always used certified teachers. It was much more professionalized.
Mm-hmm. But it was only one morning a week.
Sunday morning. And sometimes Saturday morning. And I think the older kids went Saturday morning and the younger ones went Sunday morning.
I see. Mm-hmm.
Did the family and the children follow in the pattern? Did you and your sisters and brothers follow in this pattern of Rosh Hashulam and Reform?
Yes, essentially. Well, my one sister, we have a huge amount of intermarriage in our family, so my sister, who is dead, married a non-Jew, and although she stayed Jewish, they lived in a small town nearby in Manessa. She never went to a synagogue, although she thought of herself as Jewish, she was Jewish consciously, and her daughter is aware of the Jewishness. My brother married a non-Jew who was very eager to, they lived in Mount Lebanon, very eager to join Temple Emmanuel. He would not hear of it. He thought he did not want to do that, so he was very, he really deliberately removed himself.
Mm-hmm. And, but she wanted to.
She would have been quite willing, although she was not of Jewish background. Mm-hmm. I mean, she wanted her kids to go somewhere, and since that was there, and many of their friends went there, she was quite willing, but he was not. My youngest sister is married to a Jewish man, and they went to Temple Sinai when their children were younger and do not belong now. They are not affiliated. But if they affiliated, probably with Rosh Hashulam.
Was Sinai there while you were growing up?
No.
That was entirely
post-World War II.
Post-World War II.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But she went there in order for her son to be bar mitzvah, and her son is just 22 now, so that wasn't very many years ago.
Did the synagogues or temples offer much activity, extracurriculum, so forth, activity?
Rosh Hashulam did to some degree. I mean, as much as ever got offered.
Well,
in
you
those
said
days,
Girl
we,
Scouts.
We went to Girl Scouts there, and there were dancing classes there that I remember going to for a while. Those are the two major things I remember doing as after-school activities at Rosh Hashulam. If there were others, I'm not remembering them. But they did. They had. I don't think the level at which there is organized activity for youth today. I don't recall that we had a whatever the Reform group calls their youth group. Is that UC or whatever?
PAFTY.
There was not, I don't recall any of that existing. I surely was totally unaware of it, so I suspect it didn't exist. Mm-hmm. I think that in that sense there's a higher degree of organization where I'm seeing synagogues and temples as community centers
more. And within your neighborhood, I don't know exactly where you lived.
Stanton Heights. Well, you mean when I was little?
Yeah.
Well, we lived on Forward Avenue and then Mount Royal Road.
I see. What were you going to say about Stanton Heights?
Oh, I thought you were asking when where I was living.
No, no. You were first where? Tell me again.
We lived on Forward Avenue.
Uh-huh.
And then we moved up to Mount Royal Road.
I see. And in that area, your immediate neighbors, did you have friends there and played outside like we don't do now?
Right. Oh, yes, every day we did. My dearest friends lived one on Phillips Avenue, one on Alderson, one on Tilbury, and you know, we played constantly together. And did play,
so they
couldn't
were
play much on Forward Avenue. It was too sort of a commercial street. But we'd move over to Sherbrooke or whatever and play.
And were you surrounded by Jewish families?
Overwhelmingly. Mm-hmm. There were. As I say, I had a very dear friend who was the one that lived on Alderson Street, was Gentile. But they were. They stood out in the crowd because it was overwhelmingly Jewish. There were Gentiles, but the flavor
of
and the consciousness was. Although I do remember anti-Semitic assaults and so forth. I mean, that I do remember.
I had heard that went on.
Yeah.
Was that in terms of areas of
Well, I don't think particularly. We happen to have a Catholic family around the corner from us, which is where I first ever heard the word Jewish, because they started to call me the Christ killer. That you're a Jew and you're a Christ killer. I remember I was about 5 years old. I had not the slightest idea what this meant, and came home and said to my mother, "What's a Jew?" And she said, "Well, look in the mirror. There you are." My Lord, that's startling, you know. And then there was a really funny situation with a young woman whose name, I mean, it was a kid then, whose name, Margaret Profeta, or something like that. I think it was Profeta. Used to chase me every day. I would come out of my house to walk to Old Colfax this way, and there was no Phillips School then. You know, Heritage Shadyside was Phillips School for the longest time. It was like first five grades or first three grades, I guess. So all those kids from Pocusset Street walked all the way up to Colfax. It was a long hike, but one walked in those days. And I would come out, and she would chase me, and she would call me Dirty Jew, and I never had the slightest idea what she meant by any of that. I just knew she was a couple of years older than I. That was pretty scary, and so I would run. I mean, she would start to run after me, and I would run, and I'd run the whole way up to Colfax and run back if she caught me after school. And it, I had no idea why this girl was doing this at all. I just knew that I'd better run. And I always managed to evade her clutches. Years later, when I was at Carnegie Tech as a student, she was in the music school. She sang beautifully. And she was a couple of years older, so she was a junior when I was a freshman or whatever. And she came over to me one day, seeing me there, and she said, "You know, for years I have thought about what I had done to you, and I have felt terrible, and I want to apologize."
Oh, isn't
and
that-
I